Thank you, David. I don't know about eager. It is a pleasure, but it's also a responsibility that I don't take lightly. So as soon as I get started here, all my nerves will calm down. But I would like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A little bit more traditional start than last Saturday, but that's all right. But you're going to get the same thing again today, because I was so wound up into the rally that I thought I'd carry it on to this week also. And I thought that's what my topic would be, is to love your neighbor. Got most everything we went over in the rally. I really appreciate the breakout groups we have. And actually, I had to do some studying a little bit on the word enemies, because in one of those sessions, somebody was talking about enemies, and it hit me that I don't know as I understand how it's used in the context of the scriptures that I'm going to read. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. You know, when you think about loving your neighbor, the Good Samaritan tells us who our neighbor is, and it's basically everybody we run into during the day. The neighbors on each side of us and around us where we live. Our neighbors are those co-workers that we work with. They're also the people we run into at the grocery store or when we're out and about doing our business, getting gas and everything. And how do you treat those people? Do you treat each and every one of them with respect because they are a soul? Let's start with Matthew. I'm not going to use the one in Luke that they used at the rally. I'm going to start in Matthew 22. Verse 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I thought that was interesting the way it ends there. All the law and the prophets. Some may not totally agree with me, but that's okay. But when I see that in the scriptures where it says all the law and the prophets, that tells me that all the stuff that's in the scriptures here is either pointing towards God and his son Jesus Christ and who they are, or it's telling me how to deal with myself, or it's telling me how to deal with my neighbors, those people around me, to get along with them, to be a good example for Jesus Christ as I go throughout my day. Believe me, I'm working on it a lot because I fall. When I read in the scriptures what's required of me to be that friend and to be kind to everybody and stuff, there are times I just don't feel like it. But that's okay. The scriptures tell me that I'm supposed to deal with people justly anyway. All the law and the prophets, Matthew 7, 12. Actually, it's just one verse. It's the golden rule. Matthew 7, 12 says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye should that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Interesting. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And it says, this is the law and the prophets. One verse, and I could probably just set down, because it involves all of it as far as treating our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, would you want somebody to do something to you that you weren't willing to have them do to you? Would you do that back to them? No, because we're not supposed to render evil for evil. That's also found in 3 Nephi 6:24, but I chose to read it out of the Bible. Matthew 5. Matthew 5:43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's the old law. But Jesus goes on to say, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? If we only love those that love us, are we out there showing the love of Christ in our example to other people? It's easy to love my wife. But sometimes loving other people is hard for me to, it's hard for me to do. Because I have a trouble separating the sin and the bad things that some people do from them. That's a hard one for me. I know we're supposed to do it, but I have to realize that they are a living soul also. That's precious in the sight of the Lord. And so it's my problem. Matthew 5:46, the rest of 46. Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Okay. I had to look up the word enemy in verse 43. And what I got out of it is one who feels hatred towards, intends injury to, or opposes another. One who opposes or is hostile to an idea or cause. One that is antagonistic to another. Put a little bit different light on it for me. That the enemies are called those that oppose another, or one who opposes or is hostile to an idea or cause. I don't know if this is going to be a good analogy or not. It's a sports analogy, but when I was thinking on that, I was thinking, okay, I was a swimmer in school. Actually, I was a diver and swimmer. That was my event. And I started doing that when I was 9 years old, all the way up through high school. But what I noticed was, and this is how I'm going to correlate, I hope it works out for you because it does in my mind, is the divers from different areas and different schools, we liked each other. We really did. We liked each other and we talked to each other and we got along good and everything. However, I'm a competitor, but when I was competing against those same individuals, they were opposing me, and at that point, they were my enemy. Not that I hated them, but they were my enemy. Does that help out anybody? No. Okay. It helped me out. I apologize. No, I don't apologize, because I think it does help you out, help people out. But Jesus kind of brought the old stuff in when he says, but I say unto you. He was changing it up to where it comes from the heart. John 15. John 15, verse 10. Jesus speaking, and he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life because he calls us his friends. And he says, this is my commandment, that we love one another as he loved us. And he never stopped loving me, even when I was doing bad things. He didn't like it, I'm sure. But he still loved me because he was waiting there for me to come to him. He was knocking at the door of my heart, and all I had to do was open up to him. Finally, I did, and my whole life changed. And it's because of his love that he had for us. And we're supposed to show that love that he had for us to each and every one of you, to those we come in contact with. I'm not saying that we have to bend to their way of thinking, which may not be right, but we still love them in the way we treat them. A soft-spoken word goes a long ways when you're in a contentious situation. It seems, not only does it seem to calm me down when I can do it, but it seems to calm the other person down also. Because I'm not up in their face and I'm not telling them what to do all the time, and this is the way it is. No, that's not right. You can say those things, but you can say it in a context that doesn't put up their shields, their defense mechanisms. But that's what's asked of us. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That is a commandment that we're given, John 13, 34. John 13, 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. How are people going to know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, that we are disciples of Jesus Christ? Because of the love that we have one for another. In my mind, one of the worst ways to... train of thought kind of went. Anyway, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That way all men will know that we're his disciples. If I proclaim to be a Christian and I don't act like it, that's probably one of the worst things that I can do for Christianity, is to say I'm a Christian and then don't act like it. Because that's what some people wait for. I have a relative that I grew up with that he waits for me to mess up and then he points it out to me. But hey, that's all right. I've gotten past that. As a matter of fact, when he points it out, I kind of like it, because that way I can go, okay, I need to change it. But that's how people are going to know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, because of the love that we show each other and the love that we show them and the respect that we have, no matter what is going on and what they're talking to us about. You know, as long as they're not physically trying to hurt me, we're doing well. That's how all men will know that we're followers of Jesus Christ. Charity. Moroni 7, verse 50. If you go by your book, it's on page 768. I know this gets read and it gets beat on and everything else, but I need to keep refreshing it in my mind so I know what the attributes of charity, love are. So I can be and work on the things that are in there. Moroni 7, verse 50. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. That's pretty hard for me to take. If I don't have charity, I'm nothing. And what is that charity? It's the love of Jesus Christ. It's a love that we have for our fellow beings. And if 51, and charity suffereth long. Yeah, I don't like suffering for a long time, but I'm sure that people, I think of Jesus Christ and his suffering with me, because it was a long suffering. It had to be. I was probably 33 years old when I got baptized. That seems like a long time, doesn't it? It does to me, but best thing I ever did. I'm telling you now, it was better than marrying my wife. That's a whole nother testimony. Suffereth long, and is kind. If I was to wind all this up into one thing, it would just be kind to each other. Just be kind to each other. I mean, we've all got things going on in our life that a lot of people don't know about, unless we know them personally, like in their families, church families. We know a lot about each other going on here. But out in the world, do people know who I am? Do they know the sufferings that I might be going through? No. Be kind to me. And envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That's another one that I have to work on, because if you push my buttons in the proper order, I'll fly off the handle before I can catch myself. That's another thing I don't like about myself. But it says, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. You know, I haven't had to bear a lot of things for a long period of time. I don't have a lot of health issues that I have to go through. So I feel blessed. I feel fortunate. I've got a few, but I'm getting older. Nobody's going to live forever. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. There's another thing. We've got to have this charity. It's got to be in our hearts. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. You gotta have charity in your hearts. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Having that love in our hearts is very, very important. It says so in the scriptures that we need to treat people with kindness and with love. Not that we're going to let them walk all over us or anything, but you can do things out of the kindness of your heart. A soft-spoken word. I like to read that out of the Bible, out of the Book of Mormon, because it says that charity is the pure love of Jesus Christ. One verse, Moroni 10:15, Page 776. Wherefore, there must be faith, and if there must be faith, then there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. What'd that say there? Except I have charity, I can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. How important is that? I want to be saved in the kingdom of God. I don't want to go somewhere else. Neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you must be in despair, and despair cometh because of iniquity. Except you have charity, you can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Important stuff. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talks about charity, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's Paul speaking about charity. Verse 1, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If he doesn't have charity, everything he says is just gone out the window. You could be the greatest orator. Let me get it in English, I can understand. You can be the best speaker in the world, and you can come across and fill up auditoriums. But if you don't have charity in your heart, it means nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, boy, I don't have the gift of prophecy, and I know I don't understand all mysteries, and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I can go out and I can give all the food I have in my house away, but if I don't do it from my heart, with charity in my heart, with love for the people I'm giving it to, I've already got my reward by giving it to them, I suppose. But if I don't have the love in my heart and I'm just doing it because that's what I'm supposed to do, I'm begrudgingly doing it. I'm not a cheerful giver if I do it that way. And then he goes on to talk about all the things that I spoke of in Moroni about charity. But verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. You know, you can't have hope without faith, because if you don't believe something, how are you going to hope for it? But if you don't have charity, the other two are no worth. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of those is love. We're doing good, right? Let's go to second chapter of James. This is a reading that's kind of I suppose set me in my place. I'm not sure if that's the wording I want. But it's another one of those things that I really have to work at. And it has to do with being a respecter of persons. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, And there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and he have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saying to him, Set thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or set here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Who wants to have the stinky old man sit next to him in church? Not particularly me. Hopefully I'm not the stinky old man. But this one hit me. It's like, when I come to church, I want to be comfortable. You know, we sit in different areas because those are getting wild. We sit in different areas because those are the people that we're familiar with and we're comfortable with. But what if we changed it all up? What if somebody came down here in here that you have no idea who it is? And not the ones that come in here that try to disturb our service. I think we need to deal with them in a different way. Because they're not here for Jesus Christ, I don't believe. They're here to disrupt. But what if some guy came in, a smelly old man came in and sat right down in the middle of where your area is? Don't mean to pick on you, you're just up front. I'm serious. I mean, I'm uneasy. But I'm supposed to be uneasy because I'm not where I should be yet in my heart. Where is that? Verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? And if you fulfilled the royal law according to the scripture, I like the way that's worded right there, the royal law, kind of like the law and the prophets. The royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law of transgressors. Man, I was doing real good until I read that. We're not supposed to have respect of persons as far as their status in the world. Nobody likes to be talked down to. That's a big one I couldn't take from customers too much, is if I felt like they were talking down to me. We might have to have a little talk on the side. But that's a whole nother deal. But the royal law, according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you truthfully can say that they are not a respecter of persons? It's a question I ask myself. I don't think at this point I make a good grade. So I need to work on it. I love the rally because it pointed out things that I need to work on to love my neighbor better. You know, it was brought up in one of the sessions that it's our fault if we don't know our neighbors, especially the ones that are right beside us. I know my neighbors on both sides, a few across the street, some down the street. But I've lived there for 37 years. I think I may be the longest one in the neighborhood. I'm not sure. So I got to talk with a neighbor the other day. Didn't bring up anything that's going to shake them to their core, or we just visited. But I thought, let's help them get a little bit closer to them. I don't know if they're believers or not. I don't see them going out to church, but I'm not that nosy. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, if I don't know my neighbors, if I don't know my family. But then I get to thinking, as we brought up this topic for the rally, I was thinking ahead of time, actually. How do people know I'm a Christian unless I wear a sign around my neck? I'm hoping that they know I'm a Christian because of the way I treat them. Because that's how they're going to know it. I'm going to end in Romans. Chapter 12. Romans 12, and I'll start at verse 9. This is Paul, and he says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Get along with each other. Be kind. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Because we're all a soul. And we're all precious in His sight. If I was to have a $20 bill, one person said that they saw everybody as a neighbor because God breathed in breath into each and every one of us. And we're all a precious soul in the light of the Lord. If I had a $20 bill here, which I don't have in my bill folder, I'd pull it out. What's it worth? $20. What if I wadded it up and poured alcohol and cocaine and any other kind of drugs on it, and I threw it in the gutter and I stomped on it? How much is that $20 bill still worth? $20 or $20. We're all a soul, and we're all an important soul to Jesus Christ. Let's try to remember that. I'll try to remember that. And the easiest thing I can think of to summarize last weekend and today's sermon is two words. Be kind.
Okay, thank you, Brother Mark.